I've been really excited about this.
I get to wear camo to church. And we're talking about hunting. The last few weeks, just a quick recap. 2 weeks ago, we talked about, am I a prostitute? And the question was, have I given my attention to everything else except the one person who has made a covenant commitment with me? So there are times in our lives where somebody will make a promise to us and we make a commitment. We're best friends. We're going to be best friends forever. Junior high is a great time for that. We're going to be best friends forever. And then somebody comes along and starts, pss, 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 and then you're distracted and you start going a different way. So I wouldn't call those little kids prostitutes, but the relationship is tainted. But when we get to be big kids, we make real commitments in life and where we say, okay, I am promising, I'm giving my word that I'm going to commit to this. And then sometimes we start to get distracted by other things that are going on and then our, well, maybe I didn't really mean it, or I know I meant it, but I'm not going to. Not just marriage, but life. So we dealt with the question of, am I a prostitute in my relationship with God? Then we decided, no, we don't want to be. How do I have a real relationship with God? And that's what we talked about last week, about having a committed relationship where we spend time working on and with things that are important to us. And wouldn't you know, about the time you decide that you do want to make a change and you start to give God more of your attention, you also get someone else's attention. And it happens. And you can almost set your clock by it. When you ask God to work on, I'll use myself as an example. When I ask God, teach me to be more patient, guess what happens? An opportunity to be really frustrated occurs. I can tell you, it just does. God, teach me to be more loving. Somebody will post something stupid on Facebook where my sarcastic gene just wants to come out. And so when I ask God to teach me something, he teaches me the way your football coach teaches you. If you want to be stronger, he encourages you to do things that will cause you to be stronger. Then there's this other guy who starts noticing whenever we spend time focusing on what God's wanting us to do. And when Satan sees that our attention is turning toward God, it happens. He will do things to try to convince us that what we're doing is a waste of time or there's something more important going somewhere else. What the Bible describes Satan, it's 1 Peter chapter 5. It says he is like a roaring lion. The imagery is pretty, I don't know if you've seen Nature or Nova or anything around. If you've watched lionesses hunt, they like crouch their back down and they see something, this, you know, the gazelle or grazing. And when they decide that's what I want, they crouch down and they start creeping toward it. Now the Bible says he's a roaring lion, which gives you the image of a big, strong animal walking around, finding out who's available for supper. That's what the Bible describes Satan as, and in many cases it shows where God has asked people to do something a certain way, and then Satan will come in and start whispering in their ear, did God really say that? And his goal is to ruin whatever God has set up. Today we're going to talk hunting because it makes sense to me, and I can draw examples from hunting and make connections in my life to, okay, this is how Satan works too. So I thought we could use some props. I have some. Josh brought his bag because it's cool. So I have some things in here that Satan uses to get our attention. It's in here. I don't know if you've ever seen this stuff. This is a bottle of Tink's 69 Doe in Rut Buck Lure. Oh, I forgot it again, didn't I, Rochelle? We'll come back to this. This buck lure stinks, like it smells horrible. And so what we want to do is, as hunters, we'll take some of this, put it on our boots, so when we're walking through the woods, the deer don't smell whatever skin cells are falling off of me. They smell this stuff because it stinks. And in this jar, I really don't want to open it up because you'll smell it all the way back there. Tyler, you'll smell it. In this jar is a scent wafer. It's a scent wafer. I'm going to do it just to show you. Okay, I don't even want to touch the string. It's a scent wafer. And what we do is we tie this to our boots. Oh, that's horrible. So we tie this to our boots and we drag it along behind us so that it leaves this trail of a doe that is looking for a buck. Man, that stinks. Okay. So in order to get the attention of a buck, what we do is we pretend like we smell like a doe who's in heat. And bucks will give their undivided attention to that doe. I guarantee it. So what I do is I'll go somewhere in the general area where I think the bucks are going to come out of the woods, and I'll go there with my scent wafer, and I'll just drag it along the ground all the way back to my tree stand. And it's really cool. I don't know if you've ever seen a buck do this. You can't see the guy probably. There's a hunter in that picture there. Yeah, he's there. You can just see the bottom of his arrows underneath there, but the guy's so camouflaged you can't see him. Yeah, he's in good camo. And we can't always see who's waiting for us. And when we take this deer wafer, or some people use a drag rag, we pull it back. This is what a buck does. He sticks his nose to the ground and walks along the way. I've seen bucks do this before, and if they're on the scent of a doe, there is absolutely nothing you can do to get them off. Like, hey, I've done this before, not kidding you. Bucks walking along, hey, just keeps right on walking, which is not typical for a buck, because usually if they're not on the scent of a doe, usually their head is up and their ears are up, and they'll walk up to the edge of the woods and they'll look around. Anything there? Then they'll take a step out and they'll look around, and you're sitting there thinking, come on already, just get over here, because they're being cautious. That's how bucks normally act. But when something comes along that they think, oh baby, when something gets their attention that they think, I have to have that and nothing is going to dissuade me from having that, they put their nose to the ground, and a human can yell at a buck, I've done it, and they just keep right on moving. And that's what we do with our drag rags or scents. We drag it right to our tree stand so the deer is no longer paying attention to his surroundings. He has his nose to the ground, and he's just following the scent. And in an ideal world, I have him. Well, I have. I just, that's a whole other story. Stink. Well, we talked about it last week. Won't talk about it again. In ideal world, a buck will walk right up to your tree stand, and all you've got to do is pull your bow back. It's very important that you don't flinch when you let your release go and kill him, because he's not paying attention. He has his nose to the ground, and I have showed him this nice little trail to follow. The thing that happens is Satan does the same thing in our lives. I wrote down a few examples. When I was 13, I was convinced that I was going to marry Tiffany. And she was a really nice person. But I was convinced that I was going to marry her. And 13-year-olds don't always use their brains. And once I got convinced that Tiffany and I were always going to be together, I did everything in my intention to spend all my time with her. Let some other friendships go that I shouldn't have. And my mom and dad were trying to say along the way, hey, Ben, don't do that. You're not going to get... Mom, you don't know what you're talking about. I love her. We're going to get married. And she had my undivided attention for a while. And other things fell apart during that, because I knew what I wanted and nobody else around me knew, because they don't understand me. Then when I realized mom and dad were serious and they wouldn't let me go see her, nothing else mattered but Tiffany. And if I can't have Tiffany, I don't want anything, and I'm just going to starve myself to death. So a 13-year-old boy tries to starve himself to death. How long does that last? 2 days. Then dad said we were eating dinner and I didn't want to eat. You know, I was boycotting food. I was going to starve myself to death. I'd show them. If I can't have what I want, then I don't want anything. I was sitting there at the table looking at the food, and I think, don't eat it, don't eat it, don't eat it. And my dad, in his loving, kind, compassionate way, said, you're not getting up till you eat your food. So I ate my food. But I was convinced that this thing that I wanted was all that mattered in life. And it led me to the point where, as a 13-year-old, thankfully I didn't try other avenues, but it led me to the point where I thought, if I can't have this, I don't want anything else, which is stupid. But that's how we act sometimes when we get so locked onto things. Sometimes, I wrote down two more examples. Sometimes we get so hooked on television shows. Not that I've ever done that. I don't really. You know, Pawn Stars was my thing for a while because I love watching people buy and sell. So how much time do I spend? I've got to watch my show. I've got to get home. And I neglect other things going on in life because this takes place. It's not TV for some of you. There are things that we get so focused on that we lose track of everything else around us. And we are pursuing this one thing with such intensity that all these warning flags are popping up. In the tree stand, if I see a deer's got his nose down, no problem. I can move around, pick my bow up, because I know he's not looking up. And there are other warning signs that will happen with us, but sometimes we don't pay attention, and that makes Satan happy, because if we're not paying attention, he can lead us wherever we want. He'll just drag that little lure right along there and say, come follow me. This is really good. You'll love this. Smells great. Amen. The other thing is, it's called a bleat or a grunt, depending on how you use it. This is something that hunters use. It's in here. There it is. This is really sexy. I won't blow it for you, but we have this tube. We have this tube, and I can even adjust it on the inside. I can make it sound like a fawn, so I can call in a doe. I can make it sound like a doe, call in a buck or a young buck. But I can put this together, and if there's a deer around, if there's a buck around, I can blow on this, and I can tell the buck something that it wants to hear. I can say, hey, 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 hey. What you're looking for is right over here. And when you do that, if a buck's in the right mood, depending on how you blow this, when you send this sound, when you tell the deer what he's wanting to hear, he'll do what you ask him to do. And if he's around, you can call him and have him, you just blow on it. He'll like, hey, I like that. I like the sound of that. And they'll walk over to you. Then you can stop blowing because then they'll look up. But shoot him. Because I've told the deer what he wants to hear. And so when he hears what he wants to hear, he'll do what I ask him to do. Not that I've ever done anything like that. You know, about seeking advice from people that I know will tell me what I want to hear and of ignoring the people that I think are going to say something differently. I'm probably not alone, but I used to be pretty set on if I make my mind up, who agrees with me? Let's go talk to them. Because they're going to tell me what I want to hear. And if I hear what I want to hear, then of course it must be right. And a lot of times, if I am ignoring other people's advice because I don't want to hear what they have to say, it's usually a warning to me. And there are times when Satan will put, you know what happens? Sometimes Satan uses people. If somebody's not focused on serving God, there's a chance that Satan can be using them to distract me. And he will tempt me to come to people who I know will say what I want to hear. And they'll say, yeah, this is what you want. You'd be really happy if your wife's always nagging you. That girl doesn't nag. You'd be really happy with her. Sounds really, it's good advice. Well, it's your privilege to be happy. I mean, if you're not happy, you might as well, you know, drop her. Go find somebody else that'll make you happy. There's some good advice. She'll turn out just like, most likely, because it's probably me that's the problem. Or car, and I don't mean this about, you know, the used car salesman, But it's like going to a car dealership and asking them on advice of whether or not you should buy a car. It's a bad idea. Because no matter what you want to buy, what their question is, well, what do you want your payments to be? It's not, can you afford it? Is this a good financial decision? The question is, well, what do you want your payments to be? So they can stretch it out to 36 years if you want. They will tell me what I want to hear. And there are also people in my life that would like to be some of those that say, hey, Ben, this would be a good idea. And I think, oh, that sounds nice. And then I start down this trail, and before you know it, I've walked into this trap. They might not have meant it as a trap, but it's not the direction I should have gone, because there is a place I can go and find good wisdom. But sometimes people have the tendency to avoid good wisdom when they think it's not going to tell them what they want to hear. So I'll listen for other things that sound more pleasing. Like deer, when you've got their attention and you're going, arr, they might not be listening so much for when a twig breaks underneath your foot or your shirt ruffles. They stop hearing some of those things because they start hearing the things they want. And we have the tendency as people to do the same thing. The good news is, I said that. Well, Satan does this, and it's what he did in chapter 3. He came along when Adam and Eve had everything they wanted, except God said, don't eat from this tree. What he came along and said is, now that's not what he really said. You want to be smart as God, don't you? You can. All you've got to do is take a little bite of this. Do this thing that God said you shouldn't do, and you'll be really happy. So I start listening to this other voice that tells me something, and then what happens? Stuff starts falling apart. The last thing that we're going to talk about today, there are a whole bunch of things you can do to hunt, but I tried not to overburden you since I know I love to hunt, and you guys don't want to sit through 2 hours of a sermon on hunting. The last thing are these deer antlers. These are real antlers. You want to know how I got them? I shot a deer. So they're real antlers. And what deer will do also is sometimes deer fight. Those are two deer fighting right there, head to head. They're fighting over women. It's a bad idea. What deer will do is they will come and defend their territory. And I know as a hunter that if a buck is walking around, this is my territory. These are my women. If he's in that kind of mood, I can take these things and rattle them together to sound like two bucks fighting. Because what a buck will do is he's like, oh no, this is my territory. You better not be fighting over my women. And he will introduce himself, a big buck will introduce himself into the fight to defend his pride. He'll go look for a fight. If there's one going on, he wants to get involved in it. If he's not a big buck, if he's a smaller buck, they come to watch because it's fun to watch a good fight. And does might hang around and say, oh, girl, did you see him? Did you see that base on his? Oh, my goodness, he's got six tines. That's what girls do. They want to come check it out to find out, okay, whoever's fighting the best, I'm going to, you know, jump on their side. So I know that if I want to draw a big buck in or a little buck who's just curious, all I've got to do is sound like I'm putting on a good fight. And I would, it's, you know, unfortunate, but a lot of us as humans have the tendency to get ourselves involved in good fights. If we hear something juicy's going on, not that that would ever happen right now. Can I speak to our town for a second? I'm going to. There's the line. I'm just getting ready to cross it. Sometimes stuff goes on, it's none of our business, but we like to just jump right in because everybody loves a good fight. Well, I need to know. No, you don't. Shut your mouth. Because sometimes things are going on between two people, and Satan says, hey, look what's going on over there. You need to go jump into that. And so I will take me and my, well, it's my right to know. I live in this town. My kids go to that school. My right to know. Probably not. Because if you go stick yourself into a fight, you don't know who's going to be there to fight with you. And you don't know what kind of trap might be set up for you. Because sometimes Satan uses situations to lure us away from what we should be doing. So at the point where I see a good fight and I think, oh, well, I've got something to say about that too. When I start injecting myself into fight, I become a target. When two deer are fighting and another one walks out onto the field, I see him. He's a target. And when things are going on in life, when that, you know, conflict, it happens sometimes, and sometimes it needs to happen. At the point where I inject myself or I just come to be a spectator, I become a target for Satan. And that's what he likes to do. He likes to walk around and see who's all. That's what lions do. They will look at the pack, who was all out there. Then they surround the entire pack, not just the two that are fighting, and then they start picking people off. That's what Satan does. If you are willing to step into a conflict that's not yours, you set yourself up as a target. That's really direct, and I'm not trying to be mean, but there it is. Okay, so 2 Timothy tells us, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to flee those youthful lusts. We're supposed to pursue righteousness. That means doing things the way God wants. We're supposed to pursue faith and love and peace. Paul also tells us in 2 Corinthians about how to forgive people. And he says unforgiveness is actually a scheme of Satan. Here's how he says it. Now whom you forgive anything, if you've forgiven somebody, I forgive them too, which is the right attitude. For your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan will use a good fight as a foothold in our lives to start other destruction. So one thing's going on that's not really pleasant, and as soon as I allow Satan to come in and get a foothold in my life, he will begin his destruction in my life too. As a Christian, I want to be aware that Satan is a roaring lion sneaking around trying to devour people, and he has a whole bunch of tricks in his bag. And if you take a step back and look, you'll realize they're the same tricks he's been doing since the beginning of time. God didn't really say that, did you? He said this. He'll say something that tickles my ears. Or he'll lay down a scent trail that, oh, that smells really nice, and it leads me away from where God wants me. Or he shows situations that I think, oh, I got to get in on that. It's the same thing. He's done it for years. And what I want to do is be aware that there's a battle going on. And we talked about this a few weeks ago on Wednesday night. But Ephesians tells us if we want to survive the battle, that's a picture of a soldier with armor. And I'm not going to go through all the pieces. But it says if you want to survive the fight with Satan, you need to arm yourself and prepare for battle. You're not going to take a casual stroll through a battlefield in your underwear. You will die. If you know Satan has his sights on me because I have decided I want to make a difference for God, you present yourself into a battlefield between God and Satan. And if I'm going to do that, which I have, I can't walk through a battlefield in my underwear. I need to put armor on. And he talks about having the belt of truth. There is one place I go to get capital T truth. It's right here. There's the helmet of salvation. I'm going to protect my mind with God's salvation. I'm going to take the shield of faith. So when Satan shoots these flaming arrows. Have you ever seen an arrow with a broadhead on it? Well, imagine this thing on fire. Three razor blades. They're sharp. He's going to take these things and he's going to shoot them at us on fire. And God says there is a shield called faith that when Satan shoots these things at you, you can say, can't do that. Can't touch this. I am going to block Satan's attempts at killing me with confidence in God. And the one thing I do get to fight back with, some of you got that. Thank you for smiling. What I can fight back with, there's one weapon. All of this is protection except the sword, which he says is the word of God, which all throughout Scripture it says, if you're going to fight Satan, Don't come up with fancy little cliches on your own, because that's from you. If you're going to fight Satan, you fight him with God. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I could start quoting scripture here. There are a whole bunch of them that says, if you're coming against me and God is on my side, you cannot win. So when Satan is attacking me, I'm not going to go, Dr. Phil's a smart man, I'm not going to Dr. Phil. John Gray wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. You remember that book? Didn't work for him. I'm not going to go to him for advice either. When something's happening that I feel like I'm under attack, here's my sword right here. And the Bible tells us when we are being hunted and we know that we're in the midst of battle, we can take ourselves, there is a way to protect us, and that's what I want to do. I'm not going to spend this morning on what all those pieces are, because there's 2 hours of discussion here. But just know that it's a battle, and Satan's desire is to lure us away from our senses. I'm normally alert. I normally have my eyes up. I'm normally paying attention. And I want to stay that way. I'm going to stay out of the big fight. And just because somebody sounds really pleasant, if it doesn't line up with what's in here, it's a trick. So I'm going to take God's word and use it to stay along the path where God wants me to go. Does that make sense? I hope it does. That's my sermon on hunting. And tomorrow I'm going to shoot a deer, I hope. But what we can do with this is say, okay, are there any areas in my life where I feel like Satan's taken me away or I might be distracted? Because you know the end result of Satan's desire? Do you know what this is? It's called a gambrel or a hanger. I call it a hanger. What Satan wants to do when it's all said and done, he wants to take you after he's shot all his arrows at you because you're walking through the battlefield in your underwear. He's going to hang you up out in his front yard so everybody can see the trophy he just got. I do not want to be one of Satan's trophies. I'm not going to be. So I'm going to stay prepared and be alert of what's going on. There's a chance that at some point in my life we feel like Satan has had me as a trophy. I've done things that I think, puke, there's no way of getting out of this, and there's no way I can hide it, and there's no way I can undo it. Sometimes that happens. Want the good news? If anyone is in Christ, I read this at the beginning of service, he becomes a new creation. So all those things that Satan has tried to use to destroy us, God said, I have a reset button. You may still have to deal with the consequences, but under my sight and my, you know, God has his book of judgment. That's what the Bible calls it. He erases all of it. So I don't have to be found guilty in his presence anymore. He doesn't say, oh, well, I love you, but do you remember all that junk you did? God doesn't do that. Even when Satan has some areas where he can hang out in front of us and say, hey, look, I butchered you, and I've hung you out so everybody can see. Yes, you did. You won't ever do it again. Because God's forgiven me, and at some point I'm going to have to learn to forgive myself too. That's how we can be as Christians, as people who want to follow God. So the good news is, even in those areas that have gone all the way to the end, he says, hey, let's start over. I will make you a new creation. If you're able to stand, let's do that. And I'm not going to belabor the point, and we're not going to stay here for very long, but there's a chance that somebody has said, I might have been a little distracted, or I feel like I've gotten off course or followed some of these scent trails that Satan's laid out for me. Or even maybe he's just hung me out to show me as a trophy. And you say, I don't want to be a trophy anymore. The good news is, we don't have to be. And I'm going to pray for a minute. Some people like to come, if you've seen, some people like to pray at the altar because it's a place, at least for me, where I can say, yeah, I gave that to God right there. So when Satan says, now you didn't really say that, did you? I can say, I did. It was on the right side of the altar. I remember. You can pray in your seat just as easily. But if you decide today, I want to be one of those days where I ask God to hit the reset button. I want to become a new creation. He'll do that. All I've got to do is say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I want you to be in charge. We're going to pray for a minute. And if you want to, you're welcome to come here or pray in your seat. Thank you, God, for giving us your word. We thank you for the confidence in knowing that it is the best weapon we have to fight against Satan's lies and his attacks. And I'd ask that you would use the words that have been said today and also use your word, which you always do. Use the Bible. Use us as friends and family to be a source of strength. Help us to not be a distraction or be a part of the luring away of other people, but help us to stay focused on you. Help us to stay alert to what's going on around us. And we know that when we are fully clothed, we have your armor. You always fulfill your promises. You will protect us when we do it your way. As a church and as individuals, make us who you want us to be. Show us where you want us to go. And we believe that you will get us through everything. It's in the name of Jesus we ask this, and we say thank you. Amen. A quick announcement. We're going to eat lunch. This has been Muncie old-fashioned, but if we could have our senior, we'll let our senior adults go through first, if that's okay. We're going to go over there. Should I just pray for lunch now? I have talked so much.